multiplying your resources. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable, and we're going to jump right into that parable this morning. We're preaching about giving, we're preaching about stewardship, we're preaching about the reasons for investing in the Lord's work. And I can't think of any greater work to invest in, and that's what the message is about this morning. Matthew 25, verse number 14, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." We'll look at the rest of that in just a little bit. Father, I pray that you would bless this message this morning. I pray that you'd use our church to reach this city with the gospel and to make a difference in this world by sending missionaries and reaching people all around the world with the gospel. Thank you for the wonderful church you've given us. Thank you for this place, but thank you for these people. Thank you for the many people that you've allowed to be part of our church. As we watched the video this morning, so many people who've been part of our church, who you've moved on to other places, some are in heaven with you. But Lord, what a privilege it has been to be able to spend time with each and every one of them. Thank you for those who are here this morning. And I pray that you'd use us to reach more people for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got a story about an owner that gives something to some people to take care of. Did you know ownership makes a difference? I mean, think about it. You've heard this story. The kid going up to the old man, and there's a dog there by the old man, and the kid's saying, "Sir, does your dog bite?" And the old man's saying, "No, my dog doesn't bite. And so the kid goes to pet the dog, and the dog bites the kid. And he said, "But I thought you said your dog didn't bite." And the man says, "But that's not my dog." All right, it's one of the oldest ones in the book, but it helps to illustrate this point. Ownership does make a difference. God is the one who owns what we have. He owns our resources. We are not owners, we are managers. Have you ever rented something? If you've rented a car, you know that oftentimes you don't take quite as good care of the car that you rented as you might have taken care of your car. You might not floor the gas pedal to the ground. You might not pull up on the emergency brake and try to slide through an intersection on a snowy day. But, not to say that I've ever done that, but in a rental car, you might consider doing it because it's not yours. Have you ever rented a pair of skis? Now, I bought skis whenever I was a teenager. How many of you, you've been snow skiing before? All right. I bought a pair of skis whenever I was probably about 14, maybe 16 years old. A friend of mine, he was a bit older than me, he was in college at the time, he was selling these skis. Now, if you know anything about skis, they measure them in millimeters. These were 200s. That means they were very long skis. If I was to go skiing now, I'd probably ski on 150s. A little bit more a little shorter, a little easier to control. These were 200s. They were really long, but I got a great deal on them. Rossignol. I don't know if that's a word anymore that would mean quality skis, but at the time, these were. And they're about that tall. I got boots with them. I got poles with them. I took care of those as good as I could. I took care of them, made sure that they were sharpened. Didn't run over rocks and stumps and things like that. Didn't throw them on the ground. They were mine. But whenever I went to go skiing and I rented skis, I wasn't quite so concerned about whether I went over mud or rocks in the skis because they were mine. Now, I probably should take care of things just because of being a good steward. But there's something about owning it that makes it different in our mind. But what I want you to realize this morning is everything that you have, you don't own. I don't own. I mean, you do. We live in a capitalistic country, a free country. I'm glad for that. I pray that God would just allow it to continue like it is. But ultimately, God owns everything that I have. My cars, my house, even me and my family. We belong to God. I'm not the owner. I'm not even really the renter. I'm a manager. And God has put me over some things in this world. And God has put you over to manage some things in this life. You don't own it. God owns it. But understanding that ownership makes such a huge difference. We're managers of what God owns. And one day, every one of us will give an account to the Lord for the way we managed His resources. And I want to preach to you this morning about multiplying those resources. God has given you some things. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's, we give you the three T's. Time, treasure, and talent. Easy way to remember. Some resources that God has given you. And what I want to challenge you about this morning is multiplying them. Multiplying the resources that God has trusted you with. You know, the difference in the amounts given to each servant in our story reflected the differing abilities of each servant. In verse 15, the Bible says that God gave this ruler, this man that's traveling to a far country, He gave to every man according to his several ability. What we have and what God has trusted us with, it reflects on the different abilities of each of us. God gives every person different resources to manage. God didn't give you my car, and God didn't give me your car. In some cases, I wish He would have. Some places, I'm glad He didn't. My car, right now, I took it in to get the transmission fixed. Transmission got fixed, but now it leaks oil like crazy. I don't have to worry about doing oil changes anymore. I'm just going to keep pouring it in the top. It'll keep going out the bottom. It's going to be like a constant, it's just going to take care of itself that way. But this is the car that God has given me. My house, my family. God didn't give you my family. God didn't give me your family. God has given me something, and it's He's given it to me. He says, I'm the owner. I'm going to give it to you to manage, but it's different than what He's given you. And God has given us different things. Let me give you an example from the Bible. God gave King Solomon tons and tons of gold. I read the verse last night, and I preached about it last night. King David left his son, and I don't know what a talent is because I didn't take the time to look it up, but King David left his son Solomon 100,000 talents of gold. That's a lot of gold. 1,000,000 talents of silver. That's what King David left for his son Solomon. And God blessed Solomon. Remember, God came to Solomon and said, choose whatever you want. And Solomon said, I don't want riches. I don't want long life. I want wisdom. And God said to Solomon, because you're choosing wisdom, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you long life. I'm going to give you wisdom. Solomon was the most wealthy man to ever live. What an amazing thought. Now, God gave that to him. He gave him all that wealth. But to George Mueller, he was a preacher in England, God only gave him enough to feed the orphans that he took care of, and he only gave him enough to feed them one day at a time. What a difference. I mean, if George Mueller would have had Solomon's resources, could you imagine what George Mueller could have done with those? But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan for George Mueller was, you come to me every day, and you pray for the food to be able to feed those orphans. Some days, George Mueller and the orphans would be sitting around the table saying thanks and praying and thanking God for the food that they were about to eat when there was no food on the table, just praying by faith. One time, as I remember the story, they were praying. They just finished praying, and there was a knock at the door, and the milk truck had just broken down. They got to understand they didn't have refrigerators back then. The milk would have all gone bad. The milkman came up and said, I've got all this milk, and it's going to go bad. Can your orphanage use this? Another time, it was very similar like that, but it was a bread truck. Something about that street right in front of George Mueller's orphanage, things kept breaking down right there. But the bread truck broke down right there. And the bread man came in and said, my truck's broken down. Can I give this food to the orphanage? But God didn't give them, Solomon and George Mueller, the same resources. He gave them different ones. And the master in our story this morning didn't give any more than he thought each person could successfully manage. I want to give you some thoughts for that. This morning is not a salvation message. This morning is not a you need to join our church message. This morning is a message for Christians, and it's a challenge for you to invest in the work of God, to invest in His kingdom. You know, maybe one of the reasons we aren't blessed with more is that we haven't proven to God that He can trust us with it. Just a thought. God gives us resources, and He doesn't give it to us to hoard it for ourselves and for ourselves. God gives us resources so that we can use it for His work. And it just may be that God is looking for some people that aren't going to hold all the resources for themselves, like the Dead Sea holds all the water, and that's why the Dead Sea is dead. God doesn't want us to be a Dead Sea. God wants us to be a river, like a canal that That he can give us resources, he can bless us, and we can turn around and we can use that to reach people with the gospel, to make a difference for him, to invest in his kingdom. Maybe one of the reasons that we aren't blessed with more is that we haven't proven to God that he can trust us with more. You know, somebody that has demonstrated that they can live according to God's economy will be trusted with more resources. God's economy is different than our economy. Our economy says, get as much as you can. A pastor in Texas, Pastor Wallace, would say, get what you can what you get, sit on the can and poison the rest. And that's kind of our idea. It's, I want to get all of it for me, and don't worry about anybody else. That's not how God's economy works. God's economy is God wants to bless you, and he wants to use you so you can bless somebody else and make a difference, reach somebody with the gospel. Why would God trust you with more resources if you aren't tithing and giving offerings on the ones that he's given you now? This is a challenge for all of us as Christians. The master didn't give any more than he thought each person could successfully manage. He gave one man 5 talents. He gave one man 2 talents. He gave one man 1 talent. And when the owner returned, he demanded that his servants give an account of how they handled his resources. Look at it. It's in Matthew chapter 25. And it's verse number 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, this is a different kind of reckon that we might say. It's not like, yeah, I reckon. It's not like that. Like Brother Covington, I loved watching those skits. We've got it on video. If I ever want to just laugh, you just put one of those old marriage retreat skits in or something. It's not like that kind of reckon. This is the reckon that's making an account. It's, I gave you this much, how much do you have to show for it? So the owner comes, the master comes, and he begins to reckon. Verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. So he had 5 before, other 5 talents, that means he's got 10. And he says, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. See, the owner comes back. He demands that his servants give him an account on how they handled his resources. Whose resources were they handling? The master's resources. It wasn't man number one, man number two, or man number three. It wasn't the guy that had 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent. It wasn't their resources. It was the master's resources. And he came back and he said, how did you handle my resources? And the first man said, you gave me 5 and I doubled it. And here's 10. I got another 5 beside it. He multiplied his resources. He multiplied the resources that the master had given him. The second man, I'm sorry, verse number 21, I want you to see the Lord's response. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he went to the next person, verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you like to hear that? At the end of this life, wouldn't it be an amazing thing to be standing before God and him to say, well done. That really ought to be our goal. It ought to be the prize that we're looking for, to one of these days stand before God and God say, well done. I hope God can say that about my life. I really want him to say that about my life. And I hope that you want him to say that about your life as well. But he says that, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He demanded that his servants give an account. And one day, we will all be required to give an account for how we invested what God trusted us with. God has trusted us with so much. He's trusted us with time. He's trusted us with life. He's trusted us with health. He's trusted us with a family. He's trusted us with some resources, money or investments or whatever it is that it takes to live. He's trusted us with that. And one of these days, we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, give an account. Tell me how you spent those things that I let you use, the time that I gave you to use, the resources, the money that I gave you to use. We're talking about stewardship. That's how I'll apply this. We can also apply it to the talents, the abilities that God has given you. And he's going to say, tell me, how did you use what I gave you to use? It wasn't for you to use on yourself. It was for you to use for me. It was my money that I gave to you. It was my ability that I gave to you. How did you use what I gave you to use? He's going to require us to give an account. The servants that multiplied the master's money heard this: "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. They multiplied the resources that the master had given him. But there was the other man. Verse number 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed.'" Just think about that statement for just a moment. I know you're a hard man. You're a tough manager. You gather where you don't even plant. I don't know how that worked out, but he's just saying how tight of a manager that this master is. He said, "I knew that. I knew that you're a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talents in the earth. Though there thou hast, that is thine." There's a lot of the right in there, THs together. "There thou hast, that is thine." That needs to be a memory verse one of these weeks. All right? "You gave me one talent, and I took your one talent, and I buried it. And guess what, Lord? I didn't lose it. Didn't even waste it. Didn't even lose it. Nobody took it from me. Of course, I didn't use it, but it's there still. And Lord, I made a treasure map, and I put an X, and X marks the spot. You go find it. It's still there." What did the Lord say to him? Well, his Lord answered and said unto him, verse 26, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Slothful means lazy. "Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, or invest it, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. At least I could have got interest on this if you'd have done something with it, but you didn't do anything with what I gave you." The one servant who kept the master's money was rebuked. Instead of hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," he heard, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." What a difference. Oh, when I stand before God, when you stand before God, I don't want you to hear, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Living all of this life, looking toward that wonderful point where we get to stand before God, and for Him to say, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." What a waste of life. What a waste of everything that He's given us. What a waste of all those resources. I want to get there and Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," not "thou wicked and slothful servant." And you notice, it didn't have anything to do with how they lived. Didn't have anything to do with where they went to church or any of the behaviors. All it had to do with in this story was how they invested what God had given them. God had given them some resources. The ones that had taken and used those resources, He said, "Well done." The one that took that resource and didn't do anything with it, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." He didn't lose any of his master's money. He didn't spend any of his master's money. He was in trouble with the master simply because he didn't invest it in something worthwhile. He hid his master's money in the ground. He wasn't willing, now I want you to get this, he wasn't willing to take the risk of investing it. The easy thing to do is take what God gives us and just keep it. There's no risk involved in that. I know where it is, I'll hide it under the mattress. Or don't hide your money under the mattress. I think that's the first place the bad guys would look. If I was a bad guy, that's the first place I would look. But they took their money and did something with it. They invested it. They used it for God. This man, he hid his master's money in the ground. He wasn't willing to take the risk. Now, when you invest in God's work, here's what you got to realize. It's out of your hands for a while. You give to missions. You don't get a say in it. Once I give that money to a missionary, I don't have a say in how that money is used. I mean, I could give it to a different missionary, I guess, if I didn't like the way he was using it. But the idea, once you give it to God, it's out of your hands. It's in God's hands. It's for Him to use. But I promise you, God can use it so much better than I can use it. God could take that. If you were to invest, say you were to take some money and invest in something. Say you invested in the stock market. It's out of your hands. You take the money, you give it to some other guy that's going to charge you to spend your money for you, right? Now, you give it to him, he invests your money for you. It's out of my, I can't, it's not in my hands to use. I can direct my portfolio and make sure it's balanced and all of that, but it's out of my hands. It's the same whenever I invest in God's work, it's out of my hands. There's a risk involved. Whenever you give towards the stewardship program, whenever you give your tithe, whenever you give towards missions, there's this thing of taking what I have and giving it to God and saying, okay, God, I believe you can use it better than me. I almost feel like, I know it's a bad illustration, but I almost feel like Moses' mom coming and saying, bringing Moses to the river, putting him in that little ark that she made and the little basket, putting in the river and saying, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you. He's out of my hands for a while. You know, God did a great job taking care of Moses. Investing in God's work is something you've got to do by faith because it doesn't always make sense to the financial world. If you were to call in the financial show and say, what do you think about this? You call it, there's a guy, I forget who he is, on Sunday afternoons. He's got a money show. If you're going to call him in and say, look, I've got this much money. I want to give 10% of it to the church. I want to, in tithe, I want to maybe give 5% towards missions, 5% towards the stewardship, whatever the numbers are. Tell me, is this a good financial plan? I don't know that he would look at that and say, yeah, that's a great financial plan. If he's a Christian, he probably would. But to most of the world, to give that away, it doesn't make any sense. How could that be a good financial plan? Tonight, I'm going to have to wait till tonight to do this, but I want to show you from the Bible tonight the principles on how that is a great financial plan. Our Lord has entrusted us with resources that he expects us to do something with. Here's what he expects us to do. I'm going to have to get the rest of this tonight because I don't have time this morning. Here's what God expects you to do with the resources. He expects you to multiply them. He doesn't want you to just keep them. He doesn't want you to just bury them. He doesn't want you to just use them for yourself. God wants you to multiply what he's given you. I'll give you some principles tonight on how to do that. The only investment that's guaranteed to give a positive return is God's work. You can invest in a mutual fund. You might get a positive return. You might not. You can invest in the stock market. You might get a positive return. You might not. The history of the stock market showed that over time it has generally been in the up position, but it's not a guarantee. You can invest in real estate, and you may have a positive return, but you may not. The only return that's guaranteed to be positive is an investment in the work of God. I'll show you the promises there tonight. God doesn't just want us to keep what he's given us. He wants us to multiply it. Our focus this morning has been on stewardship. I wish I could preach the whole message. I don't have time to do that this morning. If you would make a decision to be a good steward of what God has blessed you with, to obey God, tithe that 10%, it belongs to him, right off the top, 10% of the increase, it's his. Give an offering like he says to do. He said, wherein have you robbed me? And then he answers, in tithes and in offerings. If we don't give a tithe and offering to God, it's robbery. It belongs to him. If you make a decision, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give an offering to towards missions. The church doesn't benefit by that at all. It's just towards missions. People get saved. I'm going to give an offering towards stewardship where this church can be better equipped to reach this city with the gospel. I want to challenge you about that. I want you to pray about it. Think about it. And listen, I know I didn't preach this message this morning. More important than anything else in this world, more important than going to church anywhere, more important than where you're going to invest any of your resources in is this. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven? What do you think about it? I don't preach messages about money very often. It's in the Bible a lot, but I really don't preach them a lot. If you're a guest here this morning, you're probably thinking, oh man, this guy, all he does is preach about money. Look, you came the wrong Sunday. Come back next Sunday, we'll preach about something different. But listen, if you were to die today, and you say, that's not going to happen, well, just go with me for a moment. If you were, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? If you're not 100% sure of that, and that's not based on how you feel or anything like that, whether you go to church or not, it's based on whether you've accepted Jesus Christ, Him dying on the cross and paying for your sins. You've trusted Him as your Savior. That's what that's based on. When I say, are you 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven? You may say, well, I don't feel saved today. Well, it's not based on feeling. It's based on, have you accepted what God's done? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? He'll keep His promise as long as you just trust Him. If you've never done that before, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd like to have somebody be able to show you from a Bible this morning how you could do that. How you could know before you leave today that whenever this life is over, heaven will be your home. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd like somebody to show you from a Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd like somebody to show you from a Bible how to be saved. That's what we'd call it oftentimes. Father, thank you for letting us be here this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to open up your word and learn how important it is to be good stewards and how you want us to multiply what you've given us, multiply the resources that you've given us for your work. Lord, I pray that you put on our people's hearts to be faithful and to be consistent in our tithes and our offerings. How much more could be done if your people would simply understand this truth and invest in your work? How many more people could be reached with the gospel? How many more missionaries could be sent? Lord, I pray that you'd put that on our heart and help us to make the right decision. Now, Lord, this morning, if there's someone who's here who's not trusted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this morning they would. They'd understand that they're a sinner just like I am. The punishment for sin is to die and go to a place called hell. But that you came to this earth. You died on the cross. You paid the price for their sins. And they can accept your free gift of forgiveness and be saved. Lord, I pray that there's someone here this morning who's not yet trusted you as their Savior. I pray that this morning they would do that.